You listen to this podcast every day because it's your KC local reliable news source. You take us seriously. But you know, we like to get down and we want you to party with us. Join us at our annual benefit Radioactive on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumping. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
UpToDate wants to know what you're talking about with family and friends. You can text UTD to 816-601-4777 to tell us. Again, 816-601-4777. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. The Missouri House of Representatives just spent much of the session's opening day debating the dress code for female legislators. As for the men's dress code, that wasn't discussed. A new dress code eventually was approved over the vociferous objections of Democrats who wondered why this issue was at the top of the GOP agenda when so many other issues are pressing. Joining us on to talk about this new dress code is Representative Ashley Ani. She's a Democrat from Kansas City and represents Platte County in the legislature. Representative, it's nice to have you on the phone. Thanks for taking some time.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.
And for our listeners, they may have some views on this issue. Our number here, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. Representative Ani, how do you feel about these new rules, especially because they only apply to women lawmakers?
I'm frustrated by it. I was really hoping that we could start the session off on a little bit more of a positive note. Democrats had a lot of other priorities that we wanted to talk about. So being forced to discuss what we wore as a second layer of clothing in the chamber as required just felt so arbitrary when Missourians are facing so many serious challenges.
So why was this issue one coming out of the gate?
I wish I knew. It strikes a lot of people as frustrating, I think, because, you know, coming off of a year where women in Missouri lost right to choose how and when we start a family, we are being further restricted as lawmakers in the chamber where we make these laws based on somebody else's idea of, I guess, what professional dress code should be when we've always been required to have a second layer. You know, I've never looked across the chamber and seen a woman wearing overalls, for instance, which happened in the Missouri State Senate last year. It's just frustrating.
So what do these rules do? And I should point out to our listeners that we tried to get the Republican sponsor of this proposal on the show and she declined to appear. So what do these new rules dictate here?
Right. So the previous rule just basically stated that women were required to wear a second layer of professional dress. And that was interpreted by most folks in the chamber to be either a blazer or a cardigan, something like that, maybe a sleeveless vest, or sometimes folks would wear a cape or a shawl. And it seems to me that the amendment maker really wanted to make sure that that second layer was specifically a blazer. And that was, I think, the strange part to me is why dictate what that second layer is even? The Missouri State Senate, the women in the chamber do not have to wear a second layer. And you know what? They're making laws just the same over there.
I mean, some might argue that, hey, men have to wear blazers. Why shouldn't women?
Absolutely. And you know what? That's fair. And that was already the rule. So why did we have to go in and further restrict what it was, especially when, you know, there are a lot of reasons that women may not be able to wear a blazer, whether it's cost, whether it's size, whether she's pregnant, for instance. Blazers don't fit women who are 8 months pregnant. It's important to remember that there are plenty of women of childbearing age in that chamber.
Did you know this issue was on the way to the floor before it actually got there, Representative?
I did. In fact, as with most lawmaking, where the sausage is made is often behind closed doors. And so our caucus had been negotiating with the majority caucus for about a week before we had that debate on the floor. And we told them point blank that this was not a conversation we wanted to have in public. We didn't want to talk about the fact that.
Sure, some people don't like a know-it-all, but it's better than being a know-nothing. So you should know, Kansas City Today is there for you every day to tell you what's going on in KC in 15 minutes or less. Listen to Kansas City Today from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
We have members who either, aren't comfortable wearing this very specific second layer that was being asked of us, or, whatever the reason is. It's personal, and fashion and what we dress, how we dress is personal. And we didn't want to have that conversation. We tried to not have that conversation because, again, we wanted to talk about so many other things. We had we offered 10 amendments that day, and this is the only one that we talked about. And all of our amendments were voted down immediately with no discussion.
Well, did so Republicans knew that Democrats were going to raise strenuous objections to this this added layer. No question about that, right?
That's my understanding. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the atmosphere like in the House when this bill was being voted on?
It was interesting. There were a lot of a handful of us on the in the super minority. We were pretty frustrated by it, as I stated, and we were fighting back against it, talking amongst ourselves. It was interesting, though. It was one of the few times in that chamber where most of the men in the room were really trying to avoid the topic entirely. They did not want to have to weigh in on what women wore in that chamber. The amendment was offered by a woman, and the amendment to the amendment was offered by a woman. The amendment to the amendment was offered by Representative Brenda Shields, who came in with a fix that just specified and clarified that, yes, cardigans were allowed to be worn, just as well as blazers. And that seemed to be a good enough compromise for the body.
So did any men end up speaking, Representative, that you recall?
Yes. Yeah. Peter Meredith from St. Louis, he spoke a little bit. And, he's a voice in that chamber. He's often a voice of dissension. He's one of the loudest voices in our super minority. And, I'm always grateful to have his voice in there. Just because this is an issue that only affects women doesn't necessarily mean that a man in the room can't, comment on how ridiculous the conversation is.
This isn't necessarily a partisan comment, but it's just surprising to me that Republicans wanted to have this conversation so early in the 2023 session, knowing that it surely would cause the kinds of fireworks that it's caused.
I agree. I'm not sure if the amendment maker just wanted to have some time on the floor or what the real reason behind this was. But, I think that common sense would probably tell most of us that it's a topic to be avoided, and we could have maybe avoided this entire thing.
We'll be right back. Representative Ani, I'm wondering what some of the other issues were that you felt deserved more attention early on.
There were so many. Some of the biggest issues were, we offered rules changes to make the committee process more accessible for Missourians, especially Missourians with disabilities. This is an old building and it's not ADA compliant necessarily in all of the ways. And we have members, on both sides of the aisle who have mobility issues or have at one point. And they're always looking for ways to make sure that this building is more accessible to folks who don't have as easy a go of it as some of us do. So that was one of the ways one of the amendments we offered. We were also hoping to ensure that Missourians could testify before out-of-state stakeholders and committee hearings, which, again, seems pretty simple, but that was voted down as well. We wanted to ensure virtual testimony was allowed, you know, all of these things that makes the people's house more accessible to the people, you know, they were all voted down immediately. And instead, we fought about dress code.
I can't help but wonder what your constituents were saying to you about this dress code thing. Did you get much feedback about it?
Oh, man, I got feedback from not just my constituents, but folks from across the country.
Really?
And unfortunately, you know, this really blew up. I was interviewed on CNN and MSNBC, and that really sparked a lot of national feedback. But people were really frustrated. You know, of course, I had a few people, and it's not lost on me that they were all men who messaged me from across the country saying
really?
That I should just shut up and work. Yeah.
Okay.
But most of it was really positive. Most of it was really supportive and just saying, this is ridiculous. You know, women in Missouri are just really under scrutiny for so many reasons right now. Why the dress code too? Why are they trying to exert even more control over women? And that was that really I think sparked frustration among a lot of people.
To be clear, I gather you heard from women as well, Representative.
Absolutely. Mostly I heard from women. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, to clarify, most of the support I got and you know, I got voicemails, I got emails, I got tweets, all sorts of stuff. But yeah, a lot of support.
How surprised were you then by the ultimate outcome here of this issue?
You know, I honestly not surprised, because at the end of the day, you know, I think that what people see are the fireworks. But at the end of the day, what we do here is we come together to compromise. I represent a really 50-50 district. So all I do all day long in this building is compromise and really keep an eye on what my constituents from both sides of the aisle want, what my community needs, what the state of Missouri needs. And that's what it's about. We come together, we sit across the table from one another, and we hash it out. And that is really ultimately what happened. We came up with a compromise. I'm just really bummed, truly, that it had to take the path it did to get there.
Has it blown over now?
I think it has, for the most part. You know, of course, I was in a committee hearing yesterday where a witness mentioned it to us about how, you know, they felt like they needed to cover their shoulders or something like that. You know, so it is a bit of a running joke around here, although I think that it may be more, maybe a little bit funnier to folks on my side of the aisle. I'm not sure how folks on the other side of the aisle are feeling about it.
Now, Representative Ani, while I have you here on the line, I'm curious about a couple of issues that are before lawmakers this session. So much attention, at least in the media, about Governor Parson's interest in expanding parts of I-70 across the state. What do you make of that idea? Obviously, it would impact the Kansas City area here. Where's that going? What's your sense of where that legislation is headed?
You know, I'm not going to speak to any predictions, because I don't sit on the budget committee. You know, that's really where these appropriations funnel through. And they're just getting started this year with their work. So what I will say is that I'm thrilled to see that Governor Parson is really looking at ways to invest in our state, whether it's our transportation infrastructure or dollars going to childcare or technology investments. This budget is something that House Democrats specifically are honestly really excited about. And, you know, what we heard in the state of the state was a lot of our own priorities repeated back to us with promises of funding. And that was really exciting to us. And we're excited to work through the budget process and work with the governor's office to make sure some of these priorities get through.
As you talk to your colleagues on both sides of the aisle, how much interest is there in addressing I-70 this session?
You know, I'm not sure. I think that there has been a little bit of, over the last couple of years, frustration from some folks on the far right over how MoDOT has spent some of the money that they've received from the gas tax increase. We now have a Transportation Accountability Committee in the House that I believe is going to be kind of just looking at what's going on with transportation infrastructure as well as MoDOT. And I'm hoping that, you know, what that bears out is just you know, a better understanding of why it's so important that we pay our state workers what they're worth, a competitive wage, because, you know, the frustration really was about that MoDOT was spending some of these dollars on on salaries. And you know, man, these folks work so hard, and we owe it to them to pay them a living wage, a wage that they can thrive on, and one that is competitive so we can keep the best workers here in Missouri.
Representative, you mentioned child care, and I'm just struck by the level of bipartisanship behind that bill, behind that idea that Governor Parson proposed. It's been kicking around the State House for a while now. I gather we should expect something on expanding access to child care across the state.
I certainly hope so. You know, we've talked a lot about the labor shortage in the last couple of years and the effects of COVID. And man, we can all see it in our communities. One of the biggest effects is that more women are staying home. More parents are forced to choose who stays at work and who stays home with kids because childcare is either just non-existent or too expensive. And, you know, families really, really need a break. And frankly, businesses need a break as well. They want workers. They want folks coming in and applying for jobs and able to work 5 days a week or whatever the job requires. And, you know, childcare is such an important component to that. And I'm really, really grateful that the legislature is looking towards making some big moves there.
Well, we just had a caller who dialed in to say that all this talk with the legislature and dress codes is ridiculous. She said dress codes might make sense for school children, but these are, after all, grown adults. And I gather, Representative Ani, that you would feel the same way.
You know, I do feel the same way to an extent. I appreciate that, you know, we are a professional body and that should be that should include professional dress. But yeah, I think that micromanaging what women wear in the legislature is absolutely ridiculous. I couldn't agree more with that.
Well, that's Representative Ashley Ani, again, a Democrat from Kansas City. She represents Platte County in the General Assembly. And Representative, sure appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Up to Date is produced by Zach Wilson, Reginald David, Elizabeth Ruiz, Zach Perez, and Hannah Cole. Our intern is Claudia Brancart. Our announcer and engineer is Paul Nakatura. Our theme music is composed and performed by the great Bobby Watson. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.